हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Krishna Sandharva Anyayana 5 Adhikarna 3 Prakat and Aprakat Abodes. 74. Vriti. Having elaborated on the coordination of the Prakat and Aprakat Lila, the next Anucheda elucidates constancy of the identity of various devotees based on this specific bhava. Because of the strength of the bhava in the Prakat pastimes, due to great variety of separation and union, even after the Prakat and Aprakat pastimes become one, the identity of the devotees with the Prakat pastimes remains. This identity manifests in the Yadus, whose bhava is endowed with Aishwarya Jnana, knowledge of the Lord's powers, and in Vrindavan, amongst the inhabitants of Vrindavan, which is filled with pure prema, which produces our individual relationships with Krishna. Anucheda 182. The coordination of aprakat and aprakat pastimes was shown. These pastimes are described by the word bhoga in Padma Purana. Uttarakanda. Bhoge nitya stitis tasya lilam samharate kada. Eternally situated in his pastimes, bhoge, he sometimes withdraws his pastimes. Because the strength of the bhava in the prakat pastimes, due to great variety of separation and union, even after the Prakat and Aprakat pastimes become one, the identity of the devotees with the Prakat, with the Prakriti pastimes remains. That identity exists, Prakriti or Prakat?
Prakriti is also...
Just means those that manifest here, the Boma, okay. The identity exists in the Yadus, whose bhava is endowed with Aishwarya Jnana, knowledge of the Lord's powers. In Aprakat pastimes, the Yadus say, Krishna, the Lord of all devatas, beings and us Yadus, in order to taste astonishing, intense bliss by rivers of various sweet pastimes, ornamented his devotees with his birth in the house of Vasudeva, crest jewel of the Yadus, who eternally had strong paternal affection. They collected his Prakat birth even in Aprakat pastimes. Performing various actions, giving the highest bliss, he, the greatest friend, is the Supreme Lord. He dwells in Mathura and Dwarka, supreme abodes inaccessible to Brahma and the Devatas, and perform various pastimes for us. So the aspect of the prakat, because that's where all the different things in the scenario becomes established. We don't see of this, I mean, I haven't heard of this in the Vaikuntha. People just hear, they remember the Lord, they're like that, they just go straight to Vaikuntha. Because in any case, it's rules and regulations, someone will show you what to do. And because you're on the pure platform, there won't be any mistake and everything will go very nicely. You just fit in to expand the already existing opulence that's there. But we see, because those aren't human pastimes, right? They're the godly pastimes. While in Goloka, then it'll be human pastimes. Right? It means it's human-like pastimes, you could say. So that's where the position comes from. So if a man is made in the form of God, not the other way around. Right? So then in that human pastimes, then that has the aspect of a beginning and everything like that, and all the relationships based on all those different aspects and the different positions. So then that aspect, and it also has that, the thing of being with Krishna, being away from Krishna. Because in apricot, he's always there. But he doesn't go away. So, yeah. Makes sense? Yeah, because there means you're going to have your time away, because being the nature of the human pastimes or just like that, there's going to be some times when he's with certain devotees and other times when he's with other devotees, but he's there. Right? He's in Dwarka. They can come and see him. He'll come to the assembly hall. You know, all these different things will be going on. So when he goes to the assembly hall, he's not with the queens and the family. When he goes from the assembly hall to the home, he's not with the all the yagus and all that. So like this, there's that, but it's all going on a daily basis. So then there's that aspect of the separation. While he goes out, he goes to Hastinapur, he goes to Indrastra, and all these different aspects. Then that's all in the prakat pastimes. They recollect that. And so that adds to the taste. That's the whole point, is these add to the taste of the apricot pastimes. So Mathura and Dwarka, they add to the Vrindavan pastimes because they recollect that. Does that make sense? So each one has something in it that they're recollecting from there. So everybody's going through these. So that's the point. You go through these, develop that attraction and attachment to Krishna. Then you transfer to the apricot. You know, you don't, you either stay there till you do, or you come to the material test, to the material world. You know, does that make sense? You stay neutral, then as long as you're neutral, you know, for however short a time that is, then you'll be there, but at some point you'll have to go one way or the other. So we see as it goes here, is in one manifestation of the prakat pastimes, and then devotees become perfect. And so then there's no problem. You know, just like here, in one lifetime we can go to the prakat lila, and then in one lifetime prakat you can go to the apricot. But the point is the prakat and the apricot are non-different, seeing that the prakat is an expansion of the apricot. Right? So you're already with Krishna, you've already gone back to Godhead. Right? Because got back to Godhead means where Krishna is. Right? So,
yeah.
This identity manifests in Vrindavan among the inhabitants of Braja, which is filled with pure prema, which produces their individual relationships with Krishna. Krishna, a sweet mass of auspiciousness in the family of Gokula, whose footmarks are worshipped by all jivas, a sun spreading joy beyond expectation, a sapphire in the great mind of his mother, within a Mahavan Braja, he has made his appearance. Though attacked by many demons like Putana, sent by the evil Kamsa, always destroying them in a favorable manner, like the moon for the Chakora birds, he has been granted to us. Not considering his own pain, many times he has protected us from great dangers by using some power given by sages and devatas who are satisfied with his host of good qualities. Right? Because they say he has so much good qualities, so one of them is so attractive, the natural is going to be attractive, the devatas and rishis, they'll give benediction. So even if he does manifest all these great powers, that's all by their benediction because he's such a nice boy. Right? He has fully nourished us with his sweet qualities, strung with cleverness, revealing deep friendliness, playful pastimes, excellent qualities, beautiful form and character. He is giving great bliss to us just by a slight trace of his qualities. He radiates his excellent sweetness, most astonishing at every moment, which surpasses what we desire. To protect all the devotees, he established a relationship with the famous Yadus, and then established the city of the Yadus for destroying groups of demons. He remained there for a long time because of duties and comforted us many times through Uddhava and others when our minds were suffering because of separation. Going to Kurukshetra on the pretext of pilgrimage, just maintaining our breath, gathering together by the millions with great longing, we attended the great that ocean of sweetness. He had us live for some months close to him and revived us completely at all times by hinting that he belonged to us, revealing to us his indescribable gestures of affection, hidden from the Yadus, who appeared to be ignorant of this while acting as his closest associates, indicating that our Vrindavan was dearest to him, making us believe that he would quickly return by uttering oaths. He sent us back with assistance. worrying that we had begun to give up our lives because he did not return before he had finished his duties to the Yadus. He has now quickly returned to Gokula, pulling us from the mouth of the black snake of separation. He sprinkles us with a full sweetness of his glance. In the apricot pastimes, they recollect his prakat pastimes. Right? So like that, they're thinking. So this is apricot, they still think like this. Because that's the whole point, it always goes on, that eternal aspect. It means the prakat are always going on because they will be always happening in some universe. But the apricot, then, whether the prakat's there or not, they're always going on. And since the prakat's an expansion of the apricot, there's no problem also. So there, at every moment, he nourishes us with his profuse affection, which is his very nature, always fresh and pure. He nourishes us with multiple streams of his sweet beauty, with his excellent flower ornaments not enjoyed by others, by bestowing special sweetness of his gestures, by the play of his brilliant, astonishing knowledge and variety of qualities, by bewildering us with the sound of his flute, which enchants us with its mantras. With a childlike play, he calls and tends the cows. In Vrindavan, he nourishes us with the sublime sweetness and cleverness of his pastimes, of going from and returning to Gokula, and by his intense affection revealed in his arts of playing, which enliven his friends appropriately, we cannot perceive how time comes and goes. Some say that the verse spoken by Sukadeva, Jayati Janani Vasa, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.90.48, was thus spoken by the devotees of Braja when Krishna returned from Dwarka, since it expresses a particular meaning free of suffering. It is possible that Bhagavatam has various meanings, since it is the very form of a wise Kamadhenu, yielding what one desires. He who is dearer than me, so in other words, he's hinting at the point that this may be, that aspect is there, but he's not pushing the point. Because otherwise then you have to get into grammatically and every syllable go through and argue over. Point is that you can have those different aspects. It has the aspects that one would take, you know, that the aspect of the Yadus, but it also has the aspect of him coming back. As you saw, he does all those things with the Yadus, sets up their cities, protects them, destroys the demons in the world, you know, makes everything very nice, but all that's going on so that Vrindavan will be protected. But he also gives indication that his pastimes with them in Vrindavan, that's the most important to him. And because you can even see is that while he's interacting with them, the Yadus who are with him as his associates don't actually understand what he's communicating. You know? And so then at some point then he comes back. So
also Jiva Goswami commenting on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, and Rupa Goswami explains the point, and then he says, yeah, it is true, but the actual meaning is like that. And when I heard this for the first time, I was thinking, like, how come, you know, the author says something, and then the commentator says that the actual, as if I know better than the author. But then it's hidden meaning. So he explains what wasn't explained before, and then he explains that. So here we see, and also Srila Prabhupada sometimes, the previous acharyas, they explain the point, and it's already been explained, so it is there. Mm-hmm. But then Srila Prabhupada, he explains some Vyanjana Vritti, which is very subtle. Mm-hmm. But because people are uneducated, they think, oh, how come this is coming from here and this is coming from there? So it doesn't match.
Yes, yes. Well, it's just like, let's say you have some people talking, right? You have, let's say, a few very good friends and a few acquaintances. But now let's say these acquaintances are close with some of the friends, but not some of the others. The others just know them, but they're not the closeness. So then, let's say that there's something going to happen that's, you know, quite more of a private kind of thing. So then the one of the friends is telling the acquaintances what's happening. And they will be, you know, explaining what's there. It's true. But they're not necessarily going into the detail and the finities and some of the more, you know, subtle aspects that might be there in relationship and what, you know, like that. So then let's say that some of the other friends who know these acquaintances more closely can understand, know that they could appreciate it's not going to be a problem. So then they're saying, it means that, but there's more. You know, just like, yes, you know, we needed a break, so we're going to this place and all that, and so we'll be spending some time there and this and that. And so it is true. But then the other friend says, that's there, but, you know, they're closer. So, you know, you can tell them that, you know, that's where we all met before and that's where we used to go and hang out when we were kids and all that. So that's why we want to go back there and all that. So it's not just any place we're going. It's, you understand?
Yeah.
So it's, you're giving a general, which is true, but then the hidden doesn't mean that it contradicts the general.
Yeah.
And it doesn't contradict what others say, because some will say, you know, somebody may be pointing on the thing as, you know, you're doing so much busy, you need a change of a pace, a change of scene, and all that. And so some of that, why do you have to do it? You're, you know, this, that. Some of it are accepting that, some of this and that. It's all the one thing. Because Krishna is one entity, he's non-dual. So that aspect of oh, but this one says this, that one says that. So there's two ways to approach that. We see, like, I think it's Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I see he explaining about the Kama Gayatri, the one about the having 24 and a half syllables.
That's
Vishwanath Chakra. That's Vishwanath Chakra. So then he didn't understand, or he was talking about someone else understanding. So he has faith that it is 24 and a half, it says. But he doesn't understand how, by his understanding of the grammar. You know, and he's a, you know, would be considered, you know, good at grammar. And so therefore he has a problem because he has the faith, but he doesn't see how it works. So then because of that faith, because of that devotion, then Srimati Radharani, I think, herself comes and reveals it, how the half works. And so then he's satisfied. But then we see the other approach, so that's a devotional approach. It has that faith that when it's fixed in devotional service. The other approach is that I don't understand it anyway, right? But, you know, I have great faith in my intelligence and my ability of discrimination. And so, if I see a difference, there must be a problem with others. Right? Because, does that make sense? So the devotee, he thinks, something's going well. That's by Krishna's grace. It's his mercy. Right? I don't deserve, you know, so much. Right? And if something goes wrong, he understands, that's the reaction from my past, you know, misdeeds and all that. So that's why. So because I'm a fool, I don't understand. But I have faith that Krishna is there. But for the materialist, it goes the other way. Is that when it goes, I work so hard, so therefore that's why I'm enjoying. And things go wrong, it's what did I do? You know, okay, I did this, but that's not a big deal. Why is this much coming? You know, that's, you know, Krishna's fault or Sandra's fault or somebody's fault. So this whole thing is, I don't understand, so it's someone else's fault. They don't agree with each other. When it's actually, no, they agree with each other. We just don't have the devotional piety to understand it yet. But you continue with that devotional faith, and you continue the practice and association of Vaishnavas, and it will come with time. Krishna being pleased will reveal. So therefore we see the first one is of value to Vaishnavas. The second one has absolutely no value for Vaishnavas. No value. All it does is create, what do you call it? Confusion. So in other words, the mind, which is its actually useful quality, is determination. Right? It analyzes, it means the intelligence discerns, and then the mind taking that and the identity then decides what I'm going to do. And then you have determination. Then you get something done. So when there's determination, you get something done. If there's not determination or there's confusion, you get nothing done. So all that happens is these so-called intellectual platform that some present, then all they do is confuse devotees. And that means then there's less determination. That means that one-pointed determination that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur talks about then gets sidetracked for the Manorata?
Manorata, the chariot of the mind.
Yeah, the chariot of the mind. That means just that it's going off here and there, and there's so many ideas and so many this and that, and we're... So it's not at all a service at all. It's either you show how it is, you know, or if you don't know, show at least how the face should be there. The scriptures aren't wrong and the acharyas aren't wrong. Or don't touch it. Where the thing in truth, you know, it's like this. What is this truth? Who defined truth? Who's defining the truth?
I guess Bhagavatam Satyam Param.
That does, but that point is leave it alone. If you don't know, leave it alone. You know, don't speak the way you can. So some service is there. Either you can explain it, you can show how one should have faith, even though you can't explain it, and how with time then that will come. But to say that it's a contradiction or it's different and all that, that's absolutely useless. Someone may ask a question, like we see Arjuna, when he immediately asked after the second chapter, he asks, but what you say appears to be contradictory. You know, he's talking about doing the duties and all that, which is on the physical platform, physical mental platform. And then he's talking about the soul and the transcendental position and being beyond all this. So he's saying, this looks contradictory. So he's seeing a contradiction, but that's him as a disciple who doesn't understand. But to say that Krishna is contradictory, that has no position. It's not a voice to be used by anyone who's pious. Right? So then Krishna explains the karma yoga, how you can be detached and engage the body, mind, and senses at the same time. Right? Because in karma, you engage. In jnana, you detach. But here, showing how they go together. And then getting more, then he goes into jnana yoga and shows what it is, then how they're combined properly. Right? And then in that position, then it's strong, then you can absorb yourself in Krishna. So?
Yeah.
So, like that, then it works well. Otherwise, there is no contradiction. It's just different angles bringing out different aspects. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say we're talking about a bouquet of flowers. Okay, someone's talking about how it looks nice, it brightens the room, it does all these things like that. And so for them, they're bringing out the aspect of the looks of it. Someone else is bringing out the fragrance, the scent, you know, it pervades the whole house, it makes like that, it makes you feel very, you know, nice and everything like that. That's important. So it may be the flowers aren't so good looking, but if they smell good, it's fabulous. While the other guy, if they look good, but you know, don't necessarily have a smell, it still adds something, you know. But the point is it's not a contradiction that flowers have a good smell, right? So it's not that it has to be one or the other. They can look nice, and that's another aspect that's there. Someone else can even get into, you know, the arrangement, where you're putting it, what kind of vase you put it in. You know, the proportion between the flowers and the vase, where you put it in the room. They could be talking about that. You know what I'm saying? And it's still not contradictory. So it's just different features of one thing. So that's the point. The Vedic knowledge, the 14 books, are only describing one thing. That's Krishna. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But it's bringing out different features of Krishna. So,
yeah.
Yeah. He who is dearer than millions of our lives and who destroys the suffering of all moving and non-moving beings due to separation spread over the universe, and particularly Vrindavan, remains supremely excellent. This means he remains most excellent in Vrindavan alone, for this describes that even the trees of Vrindavan had bhava, as seen in the following. Kevalena hi bhavena Gopyo Gavo Naga Mriga Yenye Mudha Dio Naga Siddha Mam Iur Anjasa The inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the cows, gopis, cows, mountains, animals, living entities with stunted consciousness, such as bushes and thickets, and snakes such as Kaliya, all achieve the perfection of life by unalloyed love for me, and thus very easily achieve me. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.12.8. He is further described. He has a smiling face. Shushmita Shri Mukhena. So you see what he's doing? He's explaining the Jayati Janani Vaso verse. As you said, he was dear in the millions of lives and destroys the suffering of all moving and non-moving beings due to separation. These are all just, so it's showing other aspects of how you can bring it up. And then Shushmita Sri Mukhena, that's, you know the verse?
Yes. Shushmita Sri Mukhena.
Yeah. By which he reveals his great satisfaction, his perpetual enjoyment of bliss with the gopis at all times. What does he do? He increases the supreme playful form, Deva, called love, Kama, directed to the women of the village, Pura, of Raja, who had manifested Anuraga. It is the supreme form called Kama, since it is the topmost bliss among all types of prema. Right? Because it'll be specific. So the general description, that's what's going to be used, because that will apply to everyone. But then this, meaning what he's saying here, then will be further, you know, because it becomes to a more specific group, to the Brajabasis, and then you see naturally to the gopis, like that. Because for the gopis, we see in the introduction to Rasa Dance, Prabhupada's talking about, it means the prayers of the gopis, they're talking about him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and how, you know, we've come here and you're talking Dharma, but we've surrendered everything to you, so it's the Supreme Lord. You're supposed to protect those who are surrendered to. So they're giving arguments. Just as he's using Dharma and that, they're using philosophy. You know? Like that. And so then to establish the point. So they know. But we see others in general, it's coming from others, this and that, the devatas, the rishis, and all that. But they can handle that because it doesn't matter. He is the person that's who they have that affection for. Because in the parenthesis, because you have the equal. Right? So the friends also, they go out with him, and oh, it's another day. Oh, okay, he's got another demon. Oh, how he's going to kill him, right? Because it's all unique. Right, you know, Danakasura, then they wheel him around by their back legs and toss him in a tree. Kaliya dances on his head. You know, what's that? Aga, then he just expands himself, so he's so big that he just, you know, kills a demon. Then, what do you call it? With Keshi, then he puts his fist in his mouth. Right, because Prabhupada said, horses are controlled by their mouth. Like bulls is by their ring and their nose, not by their mouth. You know? And so then each of these, you know, the baka, then he bifurcated his beak. So each time it's very unique. So then for the cowherd boys, okay, how's it going to happen this time? You know, it's like that. So they just kind of sit back and go, okay, yeah, go for it, you know. And then that, when he finishes, they come over cheering, embrace him, yeah, it was great, and then they sit down and have lunch. You know. So like that, then it's going on because of that equalness. And so the gopis, but they don't get into that. They don't even need to think that far. They just, he's cool, right? You know, the gopis, they can know, but it doesn't matter because of that equalness. The parental ras, for them, it'll be harder because they're senior. And he's junior, so if he's God, it kind of throws it off a bit. But at the same time, it doesn't disturb the Brajvasis because you see, at Kurukshetra, then, you know, they're there for a few months while they're attending the Vasudeva's yajna. And at that, all the sages and all the different people are speaking, and Vasudeva's offering prayers to Krishna, and different people are offering prayers, and they're calling the Supreme Prayer, and the Brajvasis are sitting there and listening. So, but they won't use it as a general conversation amongst themselves or interacting with Krishna. But you see, the gopis can. So there's not a problem. This Jayati Janani Vaso can also be, you know, how they're looking in that. Or how, in general, how the Brajabasis are looking. Because you saw before, yes, he does go to Mathura and all that. He is known as the son of Vasudeva. So then he's like that, but then he's our Krishna. Because he's shown us, even though he's from there, he's our person. And then the gopis, it'll bring it even a little bit more close. Yeah? Yeah. They say that Krishna is the son of Devaki, then why do you identify him as yours? It is a false rumor that he's the son of Devaki, Devaki Janmavada. Then why is he called Vasudev, son of Vasudev? He's called Vasudev because he is the shelter, Nivasa, Vasudeva, of us, his own people, Jana. Or he is called Vasudev because he dwells in us, Vasu, and he plays Deva. Right? Because we're always thinking of him, so he's always within our heart. Garga's words, Prag Ayam Vasudevasya, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.14, do not appeal to us. Why is he said to be Devaki's son? He has the best of the Yadus as his assistants in order to destroy the evil dynasties through Arjuna and others who act as his arms. Present participle. I was starting to think, as far as this, I was thinking, is this, you know, his something to do with it? Yeah, that his associates of that. No, that's, he's grammar. Present participle, asyan, can indicate an indirect cause. Since he was famous as being born from her, the Yadus would act as his assistants. After killing Kamsa, Krishna said to Nanda, Gyatin vo drashtum e shyamo vidhaya suridam sukham. I will return to see you, my relatives, making my friends happy. So he's saying, I will return to see you, Nanda Baba and them, as my relatives after I make my friends, the Maturavasis, happy. Right? So they're saying it's just a rumor that it's the other way around. This Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45:23 is the end of this one, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So that period should move the other. So, yeah. The words in this verse act as modifiers, describing the form of Krishna as in Ayam Udayati Mudra Banjana Padmininam. The sun is the breaker of the locks of the lotuses. Footnote 6. This verse is found in the Sat Ukti Karanamrita, compiled by Sridhar Das. Ayam Udayati Mudra Banjana Padmininam. Udayagiri Vanali Balamandara Pushpam. Viraha Vidura Loka Dvandvabhandhur Vibhinan. Kupita Kapi Kapola Krodha Tamas Tamasi. Breaking the seals on the lotuses, the new Mandara flower on Udaya Mountain, the friend of the cuckoo pairs, distressed by separation. The sun, red like the hollow cheek of an angry monkey, makes its appearance, breaking the darkness. Right, because the lotuses are closed. So when the sun comes, it breaks that closedness and then they open. Right? No?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sukadev spoke thus the verse, Udriti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vijay Kumar. On attaining Vastu City, how does one see Krishna's name, form, qualities, pastimes, and Dhamma? Goswami, I cannot give the answer. When I attain Vastu City, then I will see and can describe it. When you attain Sampati stage, you will understand it. It will not be necessary to explain it to you, since you will have no question whether you see it directly. Also, there will be no result if the devotee explains to others what he sees at the stage of bhavapana or siddhi. Although he reveals it, the hearer will not be able to understand. So there's no point in discussing it either. See, it's one of those things that if something is discussed, it's understood, then it's good. But to discuss more, then it's not going to have any benefit. Does that make sense? So therefore you go back and those things that will help you understand it, those can be discussed. Those qualities, those activities, that will give you that focus that you can't come to that stage, so Krishna will be pleased. That's then of value. Rupa Goswami has described the quality of the person having Surup Siddhi. Jane Chej Jata Pavepi Vaigunyam Iva Drishyate Karya Tatapi Nasuya Kritarta Saravataiva Saha. If some apparent fault is seen in a person who has developed real bhava, one should not be hostile to him, because he has accomplished the goal in all respects. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1359. Right, because sometimes you might see is like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wouldn't let his disciples go see Vamsidas Babaji, because they would have their own idea of what, you know, how he should behave or act or that. And so they wouldn't understand. So it makes sense. So just therefore they don't get involved. So that's the point. Because bhava is the main point that's there. So if that that internal surrender of the devotee to Krishna and always being absorbed in Krishna, that's the actual lakshana of the devotee. That's the primary. Then so that's one. And then 25 are then secondary ones that are in support of that or are different ways of expressing that. So you might sing something like Bhima might be angry. You can say, oh, he's angry, he's a devotee, why is he getting angry? In other words, if he came over here, he'd get that, you know, how you say, that's how the Bengalis would talk. You ever had been on the train, they're harassing you? You know, and just, you know, specifically, they're bored, they're sitting on the train, nothing to do, so they decide they're going to harass you for some fun. Then if you get upset, they'll go, you're a sadhu, why are you getting angry? You know, it's just, they have to do that, so. Yes. So, you'll see at times that maybe that anger is manifest, but at other times it's not. So one may see it as a fault. You know? Some sense. Or a Yudhishthira in the gambling. But actually, it's just he's following the order of his senior, his elder, because he had made that determination before. When he heard that there was going to be a war and everything was going to be destroyed, he thought, okay, so I should just follow the orders of the seniors. Then there'll be no problem. Right? But, unfortunately, those seniors themselves created the problem. So he was doing, so it can be seen as a fault. But in actuality, you know, there was some other purpose. So, yeah. Dhan yasyayam navah prema yasyon milati chetasi antair vani bhir apyasya mudra Shushtu Sudur Gama. This ever fresh prema arises in the heart of a person who is very fortunate. That person's behavior is very difficult to comprehend, even for those knowledgeable of scriptures. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1417. Vijaya Kumar. If that is so, then why do Brahma Samhita and other scriptures attempt to describe Goloka? Goswami. Great devotees at the stage of Srupsiddhi and the devatas like Brahma, on seeing the Lord by his mercy, sometimes describe the place according to what they see, but it is abbreviated in their words and becomes revealed to a person of lesser qualification in an unclear manner. The devotee does not have to consider this. By the mercy of Krishna, the devotee takes support of the prakat pastimes that have manifested and performs bhajan. By that, he will attain all perfection. In a short time, Goloka will appear even within Gokula, the material world, to the fixed worshipper. Whatever is in Gokula is in Goloka, since they are non-different. All the actions which appear material to the person with materialistic eyes do not manifest to the person having Sarupsiddhi. Being satisfied with what one sees according to qualification, one should perform bhajan. That is Krishna's order. If one obeys the order, Krishna will mercifully reveal his pure pastimes. Jiva Dharma, chapter 40. Good?
Depending. This is almost the conclusion of Jiva Dharma.
Also, it's at the end of Jiva Dharma. Okay, yeah, yeah. In other words, and you see there, is once you get up to a point, he says you don't talk about it. Again. Because everyone says, oh no, but he revealed this, that, and he says, yeah, but unless you, they can't. They don't say what's going on. Summary of Adhyaya. Okay. This Adhyaya elaborates on the two main categories of pastimes of Krishna. Prakat and aprakat. Krishna's pastimes are of two types. Aprakat, unmanifest, which are invisible to the material eyes, and prakat, manifest, which are visible to the material eyes. The truth about the aprakat lila is shown by citing the excerpt of Krishna's message to the gopis. Lord Krishna reveals to the gopis the topmost knowledge of his aprakat pastimes under the pretense of Brahma Gyan. In his message to Uddhava, Krishna discusses the inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference of his various manifestations, thus establishing the equality of the prakat and aprakat pastimes. This is stated by Sukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam.
We discussed the mantramaya upasana in Svarasiki meditation, and
yes,
you said that Svarasiki is usually on aprakat pastimes only.
Means it is the aprakat because it's moving, but the point is you have to be qualified to be able to absorb yourself there. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily, means let's say we have a mantra, like it was pointed out, what was prakat, aprakat, and what was sarasiki, and what was mantra pasanamayi. But all of those to us are going to be mantra pasanamayi. That means all of, they won't be, it's not that you're just like we say, because it's like you see the one is, Krishna, he performs many wonderful pastimes with his cowherd friends and gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan. That's Swarasiki. And that's the aprakat. But the point is for us, we'll just think of, you know, from mantra pasanamayi of things of where Krishna interacted, when he did this, you know, he was with the cows like this and this and that. Because for us, it's not going to be moving. But the point is moving or not moving, it's Krishna. And so if you absorb yourself like that, one will taste, you know, the wonderfulness of devotional service.
So can we say that Swarup Siddhi devotee, he can or may touch the
Swarasiddhi
or not necessarily?
Yes. I mean, to some degree, but it seems to be, it's partial. I think that's what they mentioned. It's only partial. Because Swarup Siddhi means their sarup has become perfect by now being engaged in Krishna's pastimes. But it doesn't mean that they have that realization that come to prema, where then the whole range is open to them. So it's only how much they're involved in, because they don't have prema. So it's they've come in contact. So they're like an acquaintance. But they're not, at this point, technically an associate. You know, let's say it's just like, let's say, you know, a big person comes, like someone comes to Mayapur, like that. They come in their helicopter and all that. People go out and greet them and take them around and this and feed them and talk this and that and laugh and joke and talk serious stuff. But that doesn't mean you're an associate. And so, you know, while that quiet person on the side that came in the helicopter and left in the helicopter, now that's an associate. So the whole point is that's why it's saying it doesn't matter. Describing these things, it won't be of any benefit to us, other than we know is that's where we're going to attain to. But it's not that we can use that in our bhajan. So what sticks, what means that you're remembering something, that's the important point. This whole thing, oh no, it's got to be so like this. This is just all pretense. Because the point is, as it mentions there, you know, you're on that platform, then you don't need to talk about it. You understand. Others, unless they're on the platform, what's the point of talking to them? Hence, that's why you see in the literatures and in the discussions, they may have the obvious meanings and the hidden meanings. Right? Because a general obvious audience will catch the obvious meanings and they'll be able to apply that in their life and advance. And those who are on a more advanced level, they can understand the hidden meanings and they can apply that. Like here, we hear about the hidden meanings, but we just know that they're there. It's not that now it's like, oh, before I was always meditating on that verse and him and there, but now I'll meditate here. No, it's not going to. No, it's just you appreciate that it has a wider view. It doesn't mean that the other one's not correct. It just means that it goes farther. Since it appears that See, Braj being the origin and Mathura being the expansion, therefore the verse is generally described in the expansion, but also connected to Vrindavan. So it's kind of like all these aspects of Krishna. But then we see it's for the Brajvasis, they see it as it's connected to Vrindavan. And it can accommodate the Mathura, rather than it's about Mathura and it accommodates Vrindavan, it reverses. So at this level, it's just one of those things we hear. It's very nice to know. It gives us that confidence, that determination, you know, that the patience, and all the things that we to attain. And so that's what it's for. But otherwise, to be used to, you know, I mean, like we argue over politics and then we argue over this, that's not what it's for. You know. So, yeah.
The verse, The verse, this is stated by Sukadeva.
Okay. Krishna, who performs apricot pastime with the gopis and their apparent husbands, and acts as the lord of Gokula, perform prakat pastimes with the inhabitants of the universe, acting as their protector. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-35. The different ways and manifestations of the supreme abode of Krishna is explained next. Like the form of the Lord, a single place has different manifestations according to the different pastimes, prakat and apricot. Since Krishna is all-pervading, the places where he performs pastimes cannot be limited by time and space, for it is said in scriptures that these places are eternal places for his pastimes. They are powers arising from his sarup as adhara shakti, sustaining energy. The dharana shakti, material power that holds things in place, has no influence at all. So that's not why it's going on. It means the adhara shakti is accommodating. So it's not that the dharana has to hold. Right? Hence, simultaneously in Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan, one Kishore form called Krishna as the son of Vasudeva and the son of Nanda remains eternally for pastimes which are invisible to the material world. So he's in all three places, you know, because prakat will see moving from one to the next. Having elaborated on the coordination of the prakat and aprakat abodes, the constancy of the identities of various devotees based on the specific bhava, even after unmanifestation of the prakat pastimes, is discussed to confirm the harmony of the prakat and aprakat pastimes in Krishna. So the mentality that's there in the prakat is the same that's going to be there in the aprakat. Right? Because the fullness of the abhiman, that mood of how they see Krishna and that devotion to Krishna, then since apricot is the main, that means the prakat is an expansion of the apricot, so that aspect can be there. Because if you're going to do human-like pastimes, you have to have a human-like context. So that comes from the prakat, but the mentality is originally from the apricot. Mentality is there, therefore it manifests. Just like Mother Yashoda has the rati of affection for Krishna and parental rasa, therefore the form, the house she has, the situation is all expands from there. So the same way the apricot is there, the prakat expands. So that it supports. Thus, by the inconceivable arrangement of his Sarup Shakti, Krishna performs unlimited pastimes with his beloved associates eternally, and his abode manifests in various ways suitable to enhance the rasa of his pastimes. Good? Anything before we move on? Next one is description of Krishna's Sarup Shakti.
Because we came across again by the end of Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains very elevated topics like now, but that the main thing is that the identity of those devotees who take part in prakat and aprakat pastimes are fixed. Mm-hmm. So it seems that if we speculate about our identity or whether we can change or upgrade our identity, because that question again came in that discussion. We don't have any access to prakat or aprakat pastimes, because we don't have that identity. And if we project it, then it's just a mental plane.
Yeah, it's just sahaja. The point is it's not for. The point is that's there, but until you get there, then.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you ever have, there's that traditional waste of time, you know, in the generally seen in the Western environment. I mean, it may be prominent in other places now also, where friends are sitting in the car, and they're driving somewhere, and it's a long drive, so they bring up scenarios that absolutely have nothing to do with any of them there. And then you have to choose which you do.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather get, you know, stepped on by an elephant or jump off the Niagara Falls and there in Arizona, there's no water or elephants? You know, there would be more things. Would you rather, do a sand angels at midday on the sand there, or embrace a cactus? Okay, that has more reality, but they're not going to ask that because it's something they could get out of the car and do. So they don't. That's no fun. You have to talk about something that you absolutely have no access to at all, and then make it so real and so that. And if you don't, then you say, why would you pick that? Why an elephant? At least, you know, maybe if you jumped out on the ride, maybe you'd survive, and the elephant steps onto your ear, finish, and all that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just something for conversation. So these things are just for conversation. They have absolutely no value for the people asking the question. Because the thing is, this thing of upgrading is, you are who you are. Just like if I say, now, you should do this. No, I can't do that. No, you should do this. No, but I don't have the nature. It's not me. What do you mean it's not you? Why don't you upgrade? No, but, you know, this is what I am. No, upgrade. You know, it's not a reality. You are who you are. So the point is on the spirit. You already have your spiritual form. You're walking around with it now. It's just covered by the gross and subtle body. You know, and the polluted consciousness, so you can't access. So this whole thing is, you know, like it's a market. I go in there because I'm the person, you know. And how are you going to pay? You know, I won't want this, I want that. So what are you doing to pay for that? You know, I don't want the little Hot Wheels car. I want an actual Lamborghini. So, great. You know, the one will cost you 250 rupees and the other one will cost you 250,000 euros. Now, you know, cough up. You know, no, but I just want you. It's all nonsense, this kind of stuff. You know, because it's all insecurities, gain and safety. It's justice. Do I have the right? Do I have the? You know, it's just like this. Get off the material platform. That's how you're here. Get off the platform. Surrender to Krishna. Then these things will be, like you said. I don't know. When I get there, then I would be able to tell you, but even if I told you, if you're not on that platform, you wouldn't understand. He says it right there.
Yeah.
So the point is even if you're told, you wouldn't understand it. Right? You know, it's just like, okay, professor, the senior professor with tenure at the you know, big university and all that in quantum physics goes into, you know, grade 3 classroom and describes to them the whole, you know, how you say, theory of what do you call it? When it's all together, everything is not relativity, but there's the one where it's everything works together, the universal kind of, that's the whole thing they're trying to get, is that one formula that answers all questions.
Unified theory,
yes. And explains that the 3-year-olds are going to get it? No. Does it mean it's bogus what he's saying? No. But why would you do that? Even if they do, and now they're going to argue over something? You know, they don't even understand. They're going to argue over whether it's more universal that I get all the lollies or you get one of them. You know? And which one? You know, I get all the green ones, you can have the other ones. Or I get all the other ones, you can have the green ones. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, what's the point? So that's what pointing out here is know your position, because if you don't know where your position is, how do you advance? I mean, yes, imperceptibly you will advance and all that, but at some point you have to be mature enough to figure out where you are. Otherwise, how do you know what to focus on? You know, it's just like, okay, the kid is going along with the parents on the trip. He doesn't know where they are and all that, but all he has to do is be submissive and follow what the parents say to do, and he'll get there. Right? But if you're making decisions and all that, you have to know where you are. If you get in the bus and, you're going to Calcutta, you know, and it goes to Dabulia and stops, and you get off the bus there, you know, then you're not in Calcutta. You know, and because the bus, it went that way, and you say, so this is Calcutta? And no, and it says, you know, so then this bus is going that way, going to Krishnagar. Well, you know, well, okay, well, then you get another bus that's going the same direction you initially went. You know, great if you want to go to Siliguri or something, but, you know, so it's just, it's not, you have to know where you are, then you can see that you're progressing. So, yeah. You know, so the whole point is first, where are you? Okay, Shraddha Prema, where are you? You know? And if we want to get proper, is it which phase within it? Beginning, middle, or end? You know, so if you can say where you are in that, then there's more of a chance you could discuss. But someone who can say where they are isn't going to be answering the question. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like someone knows how to cook, right? So they don't have to ask you how to cook. Someone who doesn't know how to cook, even if they ask you how to cook, if you don't do what they say to do at the time, you can't cook. Does that make sense? I can't boil water without burning it. Am I going to them to be able to cook lasagna? Even I tell you the whole recipe, it doesn't matter, you still can't cook. You're going to burn the water when you're trying to, you know, cook the sauce. No? So what does it matter? Know that it's there. Know that it's like that. That's the direction you're going. You know, so enough is said to inspire you, but...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another doubt is when we started to discuss this point, Mantra Upasana Mayi, and then Swarasiki. I'm not clear... What is the meaning of upasana there? Because it seems, specifically comparing to others, that Gaudiyas, they're the only ones who have the access to the Swarasiki. But it appears, I'm not sure what it is, but it appears that it's a kind of meditation, means it's a kind of practice. But then here we see that the practice actually happens on the level of perfection. So it's not a practice as such.
It is a practice with imperfections. So it's like, it's not used very often, but it's called Bhava Sadhana. It's the sadhana of Bhava Bhakti. But it's not in rules and regulations. It's just what you do. It means there's a correct way of doing something. Right? And it's just like you have a spoon of soup. You want to put it in your mouth. Okay, how do you put it in your mouth? Which part of the spoon? Right? Do we put the handle in the mouth? You know? I mean, you could take the spoon, get the soup in it, put the handle in here, and then tip it back like this and hope as it runs down and then suck it into your teeth. You could do that. You know, and sure, you've had plenty of experience. Babies, when they eat the soup, they pick the spoon up like this, it's got the stuff in it. They move it this way, so it turns upside down, it all falls out. And then when it gets to their mouth, they take, there's a flavor on it, because there's some there. And they go, this is nice. And, you know, so they're in ecstasy, and the mother's going, like that, you know. That was a clean set of clothes, you know, and that's how they eat. You know, because it's about taste. It's not. They don't know about nourishment and this and that, so taste is there, and they're good. And they can nibble all day, you know, so there's a method you associate with the eternal associates, you move up. You don't move up. Why would you get that association? It's by Krishna's grace. Why would that be there? Because you have an interest. So that's the whole thing. We talk about we say the jiva has choice. That's the independence of the jiva. So you have choice on whether you want to be serious about Krishna or not. You are serious, you get the associates association. You're not, you don't. Right? There's plenty of people in the Braj you can hang on. You know? No? Yeah. So therefore then, you know, you have that. And then if you're going to choose, so then are you going to follow and do what they say, or are you going to pick and choose? You know, because it's a marketplace. You know? So like that, you have a method. So it's just a matter of what is correct for the movement of bhava. It's bhava, how it moves. Right? Like if I want to come over to where you are, then the natural, spontaneous thing to do is go around like this. Because there's a table here and a camera over there. But if I'm focused on, no, I am who I am, I do what I want, you know, and I'm, you know, nobody can stop me, I'll try to walk over this. Because, you know, I can do it. What's that got to do with reality? So, spontaneous means what actually makes it work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you want to eat something, okay, what do you want to eat? Okay, well, let's say we want to eat this. Okay, so that means you have to go to that place that has that thing to eat. Okay, of that, there's three places you get that. Which one? Okay, you know, within that, we kind of want this, so then we go to that one. There's no rules that you're following here. You're following some rules. No, but if you want to eat that particular cuisine and that particular preparation, that's, if you want good, you have to go to that specific restaurant. The other two have good food in that cuisine, but not that preparation. They have their preparation. Other preparations are what's excellent. Right? Then when you go there, you've gone to that place, then now when you get there, then you find out they don't have any of that. So then you can just pick, well, what's you've got for taste, what's the next best thing? Or you can decide, okay, then let's, it means you have this here, but that other place is there, and it's just, you know, two blocks away, so let's go over there. You know, or you may decide it's all the way across town and all that, and it's rush hour, you know, like that, and so we don't want to bump into, you know, so many people, and so therefore we're just going to take what's, you know, okay here. You're just following the path that's there. You eat, it's nice, you want to eat more, you get more. You know what I'm saying? It's okay, it's nice, but somehow or another you're not so hungry, you know, and then you have them pack it and take it home. So that's what you're doing. So in the material world, we're spontaneous. But it's all about us and what we'll get. So all they're doing is applying their own natural, mundane, spontaneous view on everything to how to get the best for themselves. But what has it got to do with Krishna? Right? We have a nature to serve Krishna. So the thing is, you can't access that unless you surrender to Krishna. So surrender to Krishna, that's the important thing. I'm arguing over whether I'll get this and I'll get that. You got nothing now. So, and how will you get that? It's only by surrendering to Krishna. So therefore, if you actually want that, you surrender to Krishna. But that, since you're all sitting around and arguing over this, is it about Krishna? Is it about surrender to Krishna? Or is it about, well, if it's not the way I want, I don't want to commit myself to this. So therefore, I'm using my discrimination to find out what's going to be best for me, you know, when I want it, how I want it, where I want it. So is that mature? That sounds more like a Narta Nivriti. Or even having some problem with Bhajanakriya. You know, because it's like you're not applying yourself. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, you have, they've always been there, but I think it's a newer thing now, that's becoming more popular, where they have these shops, especially I think the big warehouse kind of shops, you know, the stores, but they're like warehouse stores, but you have to be a member to get inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole point is you're sitting, you're arguing about whether you're going to buy this or that, or whether you want to do this or that, or, you know, how you're going to carry it around in the little hand basket, or the one with the wheels on it, the roller basket, and this and that, and whether you're going to go through, you know, straight through the things, or you're going to do this and that. But you don't have a card to get in, and you haven't paid the money for the card to get in, and you're not about to, because, well, unless I can do this and that and do all these things, do I actually want to buy a card? So that's what it comes down to. It's not about this. It's not. You can only get stuff if you buy the card. So first surrender to Krishna. That's what you have to pay. That's what Lord Nityananda said. You have to have faith in the name. So buy the card. Then you can talk. But right now, what's the point? You know? Because,
yeah.
And also, so we see is the form is by the mentality. They're taking it that the form is something you get, and then whether it matches my mentality. But no, it's the other way around. So I have a mentality attraction to Krishna. I have that form. So the whole thing is, but until you surrender to Krishna, that you're servant of Krishna, then how can you even get to any sense of form? You know, so we can see is the whole thing's backwards. It's not actually spiritual, the approach. It's material. Because it doesn't have to do with the reality of what they're dealing with. So,
yeah.
Sad, but true. Because otherwise, these points have been discussed now since, you know, somebody brought it up and, you know, made it into a scene in the mid-90s. So that's almost 30 years, right? Oh. Yeah, almost 30 years. So then, but, you know, these talks are around before that. So you could even say for, you know, not in a general mass, but in other words, it's over 40 years, you know? But it's been answered so many times. And still it goes. So that means it can't be answered because, as the Goswami pointed out, you won't understand it anyway. Even if you did tell, you wouldn't be able to... Okay, but is okay. Okay, great devotees at the stage of Swarup City, and the Devatas like Brahma on seeing the Lord by His mercy sometimes describe the place according to what they see. I mean, what they see, but is abbreviated in their words and becomes revealed to a person of lesser qualifications in an unclear manner. The devotee does not have to consider this. By the mercy of Krishna, the devotee takes support of the prakat pastimes that manifest and performs bhajan. Right? It doesn't say the apakat, the prakat. Right? By that, he will attain all perfection. In a short time, Goloka will appear, even within Gokula, the material world, to the fixed worshipper. Right? Whatever is in Gokula is in Goloka, since they are non-different. All the actions which appear, so then we say, no, but I want apakat, they're non-different. So, point is you can see the one, you can't see the others. So therefore, then focus on the one. Focus on what you can see, what's obtainable. No, I want that. Focus on what's obtainable first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, that's how anything in the world that works. But they're thinking that, oh no, it's the opposite. So then where does that come from? Then if it's a reflection, then how does that work? It's just because you feel like it? But your feeling like it has to be favorable to Krishna. Kamsa felt like sending demons to kill Krishna. Does that mean it's favorable? You know? Beings, all the actions which appear material to a person with materialistic eyes do not manifest to the person having Swarup Siddhi. So they don't see the material. And these problems, oh, but I don't want this and that, and is it fair, and do I want that, I want this. And Swarup Siddhi, they don't see that. For them, it's just their love for Krishna. Being satisfied with what one sees according to qualification, one should perform bhajan. So how much you see, be satisfied with that. Trying to, you know, ask questions and answer questions on a level that you're not qualified for, what's going to be the benefit? You know? In other words, in third grade you try to do 12th grade math, you won't do the third grade and you won't get to the 12th grade. Do third grade math there. Know that 12th grade is there. It looks interesting. You know, you see others doing it. You want to get there. So therefore, finish third, then fourth, then fifth. oh, I don't have, you know, but I'm so impatient. Maharaj Kanvanga surrendered in half a moment, you know, so go for it. You know. But by these discussions, it's always about themselves. It's never about pleasing Krishna. It's not about, you know, this rasa or that rasa of taste, and this is higher, and now what if I get a lower? Who's ever said anything? You're making all this stuff up. You know, it's just like you tell the person, yeah, you do this, you go up there, you do this and that, and it's really easy. No, but what happens if this happens and that happens? And all, you know, it's just all insecurity. They're creating it. You do it all, it's easy. You just go there, do this, say this, or well, this and that, and then it happens. No, but what if the guy doesn't, whatever, they, you know. You know what I'm saying? What if I'm standing in line and then, you know, a Mack truck comes, you know, riding through the things like that? And it doesn't happen. No, but it happened in, you know, I saw it in the movies. It happened, you know, so. So, no. You know, we create those scenarios, which are unnecessary. The point is how much you appreciate, that much you can apply. Be satisfied. You apply that, then the next doors will open. You know, it's just like, okay, I'm on a lower step, but I want to. Let's say I lean forward and put my hands out, and I touch that upper step. What's going to happen? I'm going to slide right down. Why bother? So it's according to one's position, according to one qualification. That's why the term adhikar is there. So you don't have the adhikar. So point is, it's a question that could be asked, but it's an unnecessary question because someone who's on that platform would understand it, and someone who's not on that platform will not understand it. So therefore, no, your adhikar, no. You know, your adhikar, excuse me, is that, well, maybe an adhikar also that describes it, but you know your adhikar, that you don't have the qualification for that, therefore you can't, even if it's explained, you wouldn't understand. So?
Yeah.
Good?
Thank
you. Yeah? Anything else? Okay, Preeti, having deliberated on the constancy of the identity of various devotees in the prakat and aprakat, right? Because otherwise you might think, oh, it's this way and here and that way and there. But no, it's the same.
So it always has to be appreciated that the aprakat is an expansion of the aprakat. Just like Mathura and Dwarka are expansions of the dhamma. They're there to enhance the dhamma.
So having deliberated on the constancy of the identity of various devotees in the prakat and aprakat pastimes, the author next describes the glories of the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. So this is the last chapter. Okay? So it's 17 pages. Okay, Adhyayana 6, description of Krishna's Swarup Shakti. Anuchedas 183 to 189. Having described the position of Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan and elucidated on the glories of his abode, his devotees, and the nature of various pastimes, Srila Jiva Goswami next establishes the supreme glory of Srimati Radharani, personification of Krishna's Swarup Shakti. The queens of Dwarka are part of the... You see how he's taking it through? Because then only when you get to here, means you're talking about how, you know, there's ways to understand knowledge. But if you want absolute knowledge, that without fault, you have to hear from absolute authorities. So from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, right? Then... Based on that, then you have to therefore pursue the absolute. So the absolute means the absolute that means everything is based on that entity, right? And so then you're going to have all the different aspects of how he is, how everything's coming like that, but that ultimate is a person. It's the person who everything expands from. Then, okay, you've established that. Now, okay, you have all that energy, but that energy has to be controlled. Because the person has expanded itself. So as Paramatma, he controls everything. He's the Lord of all Shaktis. Right? And then you have all the different realms like that. So you go up like this. Then you get into Bhagavan. So then in Bhagavan, then he's the person. Then that's based on the relationships. It's not the mechanics and all that we saw in the first two levels. Now it's about rasa. Right? So then it's going to be that. Then establishing the different realms. Well, first establishing that he's absolute, therefore his realm is absolute, the devotees are absolute. Then we have that. Then you can go on to that there's different realms. Then you bring it up to Goloka, then within that, then you have to Braj, and within that, then you might take it. And then, now we're going to establish that there's the Prakat and Apakat pastimes. Right? Because he's performing his pastimes, but we see here that then they go on. You say they're eternal, but then how they are, and how they're expanded, and how one can be absorbed. Right? Because all like the gopis or the Brajvasis, they're feeling separation. So then how is that, you know, going to work? Because then you can absorb yourself. By being absorbed in Krishna, you're always with Krishna. So that way then they are practically in the apricot. Right? And then the apricot's going on. Now we do that, then how prakat and apricot, how they're non-different. And then in being non-different, how the devotees are also consistent between the two. And then, and now that that's all there, now you can bring it up to why is all that going on? Because of the Suru Shakti. Right? And when that's established, then we can talk bhakti. Does that make sense? So right now, it's first he's just established in the first four about, he hasn't explained how you're creating. He's talking moods and mentalities and attitudes. But practice in that, that's going to come in the next one. So when you appreciate Krishna and the devotees and the transcendental, then you can appreciate bhakti. Does that make sense? The queens of Dwarka are part of his Swarup Shakti. The 16,000 queens are represented by the 16 Vidya Shaktis, which act just like the brilliance of the sun in relation to darkness, which is favored by owls. It means the darkness. And Krishna is like the moon, and the Shaktis are like his phases, Kala. This indicates that they arise from his Swarup. Okay, so the Shodasha Kala is with the moon. Okay, so he's like the moon, so then. The eight principal queens are definitely his Swarup Shakti. Okay, 16 Vidya Shakti. So that means from each, that means we're talking here, the 16, the eight queens, makes, each queen will have two aspects of those Shaktis. You know, some feature. Are definitely his Swarup Shakti. Among them, Satyabhama is Bhu Shakti. This is known from Padma Purana. Yamuna Kalindi is his Kripa Shakti, as glorified in Skanda Purana. Rukmini is Lakshmi herself. Manifestation of his Swarup Shakti in Vrindavan is the Braja Gopis. The Gopis are in the highest position because they are predominated by the most excellent Prema Rasa, a special function of the essence of the Hladini Shakti. That is explained in Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratipavita Abhihi. They are the counterpart of Krishna's special prema rasa, Brahma Samhita 5:30. By their manifestation of intense prema, Krishna reveals the highest satisfaction with them. By this, his desire and joy with them arises. Among all the gopis who are of the functions of the highest sweet prema, Sri Radhika is the highest essence, since she is shown to be the pinnacle of the highest prema. She is the highest excellence of prema. Her nature as Swarup Shakti is indicated by eternally playing with Krishna in Vrindavan, with mutually indestructible bonds. All the other Shaktis, such as Aishwarya, not too much respected, follow after her. Krishna, combined with Radha, is his most astonishing manifestation, produced in Sri Vrindavan, which is also the most astonishing, intense manifestation of Krishna. Thus, Shruti says, Radhaya Madhavo Devaha. Krishna shines brilliantly with Radha, Rik Parishishta. Okay, so that's Veda. So it says all, and then it'll get into technical details. Like you say, we have this camera here, so then you can do this or that. And so that's what it says there. Now you also may have a manual that says fat on how you do that. And that's just how it works and what works here and what are all the options of what you can do. You're going to have another manual that's probably even fatter on how you can use it to make movies and this and that. Right? And then, okay, that's how you make the movie, but then that makes editing, so there's this fat on editing. You know, there's a thing on, you know, color and all that. There's going to be another book on that. You know what I'm saying? So there's going to be all these different things, but all it's all based off of that this is a camera it can use to take pictures. So Krishna shines brilliantly with the Radha is the point. Now there may be, you know, thousands of verses giving different aspects of this and that, and, you know. So, yeah. Anucheda 183. The people of Raja were not aware of time because of their great bliss. Rajati nahi yatrapi samayaha.
Oh,
okay. Brahma. Time does not pass there. Brahma Samhita 5:56. Overcome with the bliss of Krishna's arrival, they always think he has come today. Just as one enters the mood of the prakat pastimes and the apakat swarasiki pastimes. One enters the mood of previous prakriti manifestations in mantra pashanamayi pastimes. Right? So here's going into what you were saying. So the apricot is the swarasiki because it's running, because it's always going on. And so mantra pashana, then that will be entering the mood of previous prakat pastimes. Because that's what we have. Because we have, you know, pictures from that. You know, it's like our paintings. You could say they're technically the basis of mantra pasana mayi. So on that you could meditate and in that become completely absorbed.
Mm. Yeah, so previous it's what explained in the Bhagavatam.
Yes, yes. It means the most recent one here.
Yeah.
And then you'll see sometimes in other places they're telling of some other pastimes, some other here and there.
Yeah.
But the point is how it's seen in line with Srimad Bhagavatam is the important. Right? Because otherwise, depending on the audience, they may be discussing, like the Rig Veda, or the Rig Parishishta, is explaining that point of Krishna and Radha. But who knows who the audience is?
Yeah.
So it may be described in some, you know, more a path of jnana or something like that. And so one may not catch, one may think, oh, it's jnana. You know, just like sometimes devotees, you know, take some information from other individuals, you know, outside the direct purvey of the society, but if they don't see it in the context of Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's instructions and all that, they think it's something else. But it's just the same thing according to the Adhikar. Then someone in one sampradaya will see it up to this point. But we're seeing it to another point.
Yeah.
So therefore, what they say up to there then works, and it works fine. So, yeah. So the mantra pasana mayi, then that's going to be the meditation. That's for sadhana. Swarasiki is that's just taste, that's absorption. Because the point is, it's running means you have to be able to be absorbed. Otherwise, how are you going to be taking part? You know, it's not like, what do you call it? You know, that speed reading that the students do in university. They only read every third word because they have to go through 20 books in 3 months, which is like stupid, but whatever, they have to do it. So they read every third word. So we're not talking like that. They're just there. You're just in it. It's running. It's like a river. You're just flowing in the river. Is that? Yeah. Yeah, it's like we're sitting here. We see the river going by. We're seeing time. But if you're in the river, you don't see the time. The condition of the Ganga is present in a series of its lakes. In both cases, they are regarded equally. Just like, have you ever gone, when you went to Calcutta the other day, you went over the bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you go over the bridge, you'll see as Ganga is coming down, but then there's this big, huge lake on the side.
The other side.
Yeah, so that's the prakat. And the moving river, that's the apricot. It means, well, that's the swarasiki. And this is the mantra pasana mayi. They're the same. The one's an expansion of the other. The lake is an expansion of the river.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In both cases, they are regarded equally. Go gopa gopika sange yatra kridati kam saha. The killer of Kamsa plays in Vraja in association with the gopis, cowherds and cows. Govinda gopijana valabhesha kam sa suragna. O Govinda, Lord of the Gopis, killer of Kamsa and Aga, Padma Purana Patalakanda. As in the Swarasiki pastimes, so in the Mantrapasana Mayi pastimes, one meditates on the son of Nanda. So in either one, it may have been killing the demon happened in the prakat, but it's being meditated by the devotees in the aprakat, because they don't see the difference. Even though there's no demons there in the aprakat, they're remembering there. So so that's what I said. As in the Swarasiki, so in the Mantrapasana Mayi. You know, so if people start, why can't I meditate on the Swarasiki? These are more. It goes into the same, you can put it on that list, same list on, can I change rasas? Can I this? You know, did I fall from here? Did I fall forward? Did I fall backwards? You know, was I falling upside down? Was I sideways? Or, you know, was I face down? Or, you know, was I doing cool, you know, things in the air as you're going down, you know, like that? Or was there a parachute? Yeah. Shakala loka mangalo nanda gopa Tanayo Devata. The Devata of the mantra is the son of Nanda, auspicious for the whole world, Gotamiya Tantra. So the Devata means who is being worshipped. So in either case, the Swarasika Mantra Pasana Mahi, you're meditating on Krishna. He's the Devata. So if you're absorbed in him, then it's fine. What is it? What does it matter? Since special moods of the prakat pastimes enter into aprakat, appearance and disappearance pastimes are also described in the aprakat experience, but as one event, not many. Even though they have awareness of previously experiencing these events in time without beginning, Krishna repeatedly appears in the world in order to reinforce and refresh that mood. Right, so it just brings it up. It's so many things are going on, so the prakat pastimes are there. Then it refreshes that, and then they're talking about that again. Otherwise, you know, so many things are there. So it's just, it's part of Krishna's method. Thus it was shown that Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He manifests most excellently in Gokula. He shows great powers there. He showed himself as the Lord of millions of universes, the single form of rasa composed of existence, knowledge, and unlimited bliss. He is full of compassion, giving the position of mother to Putana, and he is full of sweetness.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.